Proverbs chapter 23. One of the things that we see in the book of Proverbs is a lot of lessons. It's interesting. Sometimes you can get so much out of one little verse in Proverbs, and you could really revolutionize your life sometimes by just one verse. I remember hearing a story, actually reading a story, a man named Charles Chenecky in his book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. He told a story of a time when he was a priest. He was a Catholic priest who eventually got saved. He was actually a close friend of Abraham Lincoln's. Back in the 1800s, I think he was born like 1809 and became a close friend of Abraham Lincoln's. But he said at one point that he said that he heard about a tragedy that was going on in a particular family. And so he hurried over to that house in his parish, and before he got to the house, he could hear a woman screaming. And the woman was screaming, and as he approached the house, he walks in and he sees this woman with holding her little girl, two or three year old girl, and there was blood all over the child, blood all over the mother, blood all over the house. And what had happened was the fact that this mother had been drinking. And she had been holding that child, and this time she was holding that child, she had gotten too much to drink. And she stumbled and fell against, and her daughter's head hit the corner of the cast iron stove. And this mother, I'm trying not to be too graphic, but I want to get a point across. This mother is trying to hold the girl's skull together. And she's crying and carrying on because old cursed drink. And she was saying, "Father Chenecky, give me a knife so I can cut my throat. My drinking has killed my child." And that mother grieved herself for 2 days. And her grief finally caused her to die. What a tragedy. And it doesn't have to happen. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to bring a point across, and the title of this message is "Don't Get Snake Bit." Don't get snake bit. Look at Proverbs 23. We'll start with verse 29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, I pray that you'll just move in a special way. Lord, we're going to preach from your book and preach about warnings and dangers about examples in the Bible and others about this dangerous alcohol. And Lord, I just come before you asking your Holy Spirit to move in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things that bothers me a lot of times is and I'm not saying they're wrong about pushing and dealing with cigarettes and tobacco issues and all these things, but I will venture to say that you can guarantee across our nation, no drug has killed more people than alcohol. Nothing has been more productive in sending souls to hell. No vice more than alcohol. You say, why are you worrying about alcohol? It bothers me that I see Christians, people that say they love Jesus, and they get on this and they think they can have a social drink. I want to tell you something. You're playing with fire.
Amen.
You're playing with fire. This morning we were talking about, we were teaching in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. And what does that do? I'm going to tell you right up front. Alcohol is going to defile you.
That's right.
It's going to keep you from making the right choices. It's going to help the devil persuade you. You think I'm wrong? Turn to Genesis chapter 19. You know the story. This is the story of Lot. The story of Lot is a sad, sad commentary. I mean, there's nothing in Lot's life that gives us any hope of him being saved. It's not till we get to 2 Peter that we see anything about Lot being saved. But what happened to his family? Look at what it says, starting with verse 31. And it says, "And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old." This is after Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities in the valley had been destroyed. And their mother had been turned to a pillar of salt. All it was the two girls and the dad. And it says, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. They thought that all mankind had been destroyed. Remember, God did it one time with a flood. And all they knew is that they were left. The three of them were left. And so what's going on is they're thinking, we've got to procreate mankind. We've got to be the ones to reproduce mankind. And it says, look at verse 32, and it says, "And let us make our father drink wine, that we may lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived it, and he perceived not that she lay with him, nor when she arose. Now, I'm not going to go any farther in that, but why both the girls got their father drunk. This is one of the lessons I used to teach the young people at the juvenile jails. And I told them, I said, plain and simple, why did the girls get dad drunk? And it's pretty simple. They got him drunk to get him to do something that he would not do otherwise. If he was thinking straight, he wouldn't even consider such a despicable thing. And I want you to know something. The devil wants you and I, those of us that love Jesus, he wants us to make decisions that are contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
And if we're thinking straight, and if we're committed, we won't do it.
That's right.
But if you go taking a drink, and maybe another one, and maybe another one, or maybe you want to doing drugs. I'll be honest with you, you need to be real careful with the prescription medicines too. Because the devil can get into that, and it can help you make a decision that you should not make. But the key is, what we're going to deal with is snake bit. You see, the devil, the Bible says that it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Why? What happened to Lot's family? First off, he moved into a bad place. Secondly, he could not, his testimony was so bad that his sons-in-laws did not respect him when he said, "We've got to get out of the city." But I want to ask you something. I mean, here they are running from the city, running from Sodom. Where did they get the wine? Must have been pretty important for them to take it with them. You know, there's a lot of things in my house that if I've got to leave the city, I'm going to grab. Might grab a gun or two to protect us. I might grab some valuables. I might grab some food to eat on the road. Why is not going to be taken? It's not going to be in my bag. Okay? Not something that I even think about. It's not in the house anyway. Amen? But the truth is, they had to have gotten it somewhere. Now, the Bible doesn't see fit to tell us, so I'm not going to speculate on that, but I want you to understand it must have been something pretty important because they were hiding in a cave and they still had wine. I want you to think back. What happened to Noah? I know he went through a building program for over 100 years, building an ark. But let's go over there. Not far from there now. Genesis chapter 9. Start with verse 20. This is after the ark, after they got out of the ark. Noah became planted a vineyard and became a husbandman. That means he's the one that cared for the vineyard. Verse 21 says, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. You wonder why the Canaanites were defeated and their land taken away because of by the children of Israel? It started right here. It started right here. What happens if Noah doesn't get drunk? We don't know. But we do know that one of his children had a curse on them because of his drinking. I have never yet, now you may be able to tell me, but I have never yet seen a family where anybody, especially the parents, if the parents go to drinking, it doesn't cause a curse on one, at least one of the children. Now I know that there are children that don't have that in their family. The parents never drank and they go up that way. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about parents, either one or both drink, and they go and they take that, they say, Johnny, do as I say, not as I do. Guess what? I can tell you examples. I know examples. Some of them too close for me to share. But the truth is, why, when we get a clear indication from the Word of God to leave the stinking stuff alone,
right.
Why is it that Christians say, oh, I can take a social drink and I'm fine. I can handle it. You can handle it just like you can handle a live rattlesnake. The only kind of rattlesnake is a dead rattlesnake in my book. Now, they don't taste bad, but the truth is, you got to kill them first. And I'm having a little fun. I have eaten rattlesnake, fried rattlesnake. But the truth is, the best serpent is a dead serpent. And if you leave that serpent alone and stay away from it, it has trouble biting you. I've been to several weddings, and one of the things that bothers me is when somebody goes and has a wedding and they want God's blessings on their marriage, and they come and have a nice church ceremony for a wedding, And then they have the reception somewhere else so they can have their alcohol. I've been to a couple of those, and I got sucked in. I did not know that that's why they were having it off the church property. But as soon as I find out, or if I, probably from now on out, I've learned that if they have a reception somewhere else, I'm not going. Plain and simple. Even if I'm the pastor, which if I know that that's what they're going to do, I'm probably not going to do the marriage anyway. But the truth is, why is it we as Christians can't leave the stinking stuff alone? Tell me one time, one thing that it's good for. Okay, I know one person, I know what one time where it says in the Bible to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. That's in 2 Timothy. But remember something. Who's writing that? That's the Apostle Paul. Who's with the Apostle Paul? A guy named Luke. Who is Luke? He's a physician. I want you to understand that Paul's giving Timothy a prescription. Okay? You don't need to take anybody else's prescription. That's Paul's prescription through Luke, from Luke, to Timothy. And Timothy apparently had some stomach issues. Sometimes they put alcohol in medication, NyQuil or whatever. I grew up with asthma. And it's a wonder that I didn't grow up to be an alcoholic. Because the inhaler that they gave me as a child was 33% alcohol. I mean, it was. That's what they gave me to use as a rescue inhaler. Hey, guess what? God wants his people to live right, to stay away from the devil's stuff. You can get snake bit if you want to, but as many warnings as there are in the Word of God, there's no reason to.
That's right.
We need to stay away from this stuff. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. Noah's family was cursed because of it. Lot's family was cursed because of it. Now we're going to see somebody that got more than just a curse. A guy named Belshazzar. Now if you know the story, you know that Belshazzar is in charge of the kingdom. Whether Nebuchadnezzar or Nabonidus is the king at the time, they've left Belshazzar in charge. There's some debate on who was actually in charge at the time. I'm not going to go there, but I want you to understand. Belshazzar was left in charge. How many of you have ever heard of a child being left at home, a teenager left at home, and mom and dad were gone? Not a good situation. Not unless you've got an exceptional teenager. Not many of them that I've ever heard of could handle being alone at the house and not taking advantage of mom and dad. But that's basically what you see here, is the fact that Belshazzar, he's throwing him a party. Now I want you to get the scene, what's going on outside. They're actually being besieged by the Medo-Persians. And the Medo-Persian Empire and the armies are outside and they've besieged Babylon. And then when we see this, then what we see is the fact that what would you be doing if you're under siege? Guess what? If you're under siege, you're not going to throw a party. But that's what Belshazzar did.
He threw a party and he invited all the kings and the rulers from other places. And that was when they were having their party and they were drinking. And he was trying to show off. Now, I'm going to tell on us guys, because there are times we do stupid stuff. And sometimes that stupid stuff is just... Sometimes that stupid stuff is just to impress the girls. I'm being honest. I'm in church. I ain't lying, okay? Maybe I'm a little more honest than it makes us comfortable with, but the truth is, hey, that's what we do, or we did. But the truth is, that's what he's doing. He's showing off. And he's got all these people there, and he's trying to bat. He's got all been drinking, and guess what he does? He goes and has them get the holy vessels of God that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple of God when he conquered Jerusalem. And they started drinking their nasty booze and toasting and praising and worshiping the false gods of Babylon. And God said, scratch that, that's enough. Not gonna happen anymore. Your day, you've been found in the balance, and you've been measured and found wanting. Guess what? Not only did he lose the kingdom that night, but guess what else? He died. Why? He died because of the nasty booze. He died because he made a decision that he shouldn't have made. He died because there was something going on. And I want you to understand, you and I have both seen it, and we've all seen it, where people have made stupid, stupid decisions when they're drinking. And I want you, there's a reason that a lot of people call it liquid courage, okay? But it's not courage, it's foolishness. And that's what we have to do, is we realize that God has given us a warning. And if we want to be thinking straight and pleasing God with our lives, we've got to avoid that kind of stuff. I've got to a point where the last football game I went to was in 1998. I presented my son and my son-in-law, and the three of us went to one of the Bucks games. You say, you went to church, went there instead of church? I went on a Monday night. I wasn't gonna miss church for football. I haven't missed church for football. I won't miss church for the Super Bowl. That's right. Not even if I got family playing in it. Right. Okay? But the truth is, we went, and that was the nastiest stuff. The people getting drunk and cussing and, yeah, spilling the beer all over people and walking down there. And I want you to know, it's a nasty, nasty habit. I'd rather go to McDonald's where they don't sell alcohol than go to a nice restaurant where they do.
That's right.
Say, you're crazy, preacher. I've been called crazy before. That don't hurt my feelings. I'm getting so old, things like that don't bother me no more. Crazy is a nice, it's a compliment compared to being out of what I was called out to mind. Say, amen. But the truth is, God wants so holy people. He wants people that are committed. He wants people that are sold out. And you cannot make right decisions if you let that devil's brew influence you. We've got some young people here. I hope you guys never, ever, ever put an alcoholic beverage to your mouth.
That's right.
First off, that's part of the church covenant. To abstain from all alcoholic beverages as a beverage. Alcoholic drinks, I think is how it's worded. But the truth is, that's a commitment. I wish I could say I'd never had any. But I can tell you it's been well over 40 years since I have. And I haven't missed it an ounce. I hear people all the time talking about on the bus, oh, I can't wait to get off the bus and go get me a cold beer. Guess what? You're wasting your money on something. I've tasted it. It's some nasty stuff. I don't know what to liken it to, but it definitely ain't palatable. And that's why a lot of people have to, they say, well, I have to get to acquire a taste for it. Why? First off, you've got to acquire a taste for it because it's stinking, nasty tasting. Secondly, it's not good for you. Thirdly, the Bible warns us about it. And think about it. It's popular. That's why they don't preach about it and they don't have curses on it and they don't have taxes on it to the degree that they do cigarettes and things of that nature. You probably haven't heard a message like this just on alcohol before. I've never preached one just on alcohol. I brought it up in a lot of messages. But I think it's about time. We draw a line in the sand and say, this is where God wants us to stand. And we're going to stand against the stinking stuff. We're going to stand where God stands. We're giving us a Bible. We've got a Bible. We've seen, you know, if I had test time and could have everybody step up to the microphone, just imagine what kind of testimonies we could give over the dangers and the tragedies that have taken place in your life and in my life. I remember a young man that Gary knows, a man named Ben, I've mentioned it before, 18-year-old young man, just plastered drunk, walking home from the bar about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's having trouble walking. And he stumbles. He's walking down the sidewalk and he stumbles and falls into the street right in front of a car and dies. That's just one. I know families that have been torn apart by the stinking stuff. I know that there are people that have lost lives. All you got to do is pick up the newspaper and you see where people have been driving drunk and they've killed somebody or killed a family member or... Hey, now I will tell you that it's real good for the buses because there's a lot of people ride the bus because they don't have a driver's license. But the truth is, it'd have been a whole lot better if they'd learned this lesson before that happened. I think about these guys that were drinking and racing, going down the road and killed that mother and a daughter, a little girl there on Bayshore. Why? Because they didn't heed the warnings. God's given us some warnings. And what we need to do is to realize this is something that we don't need to be a part of. It'll steal your money, it'll steal your thinking, and it'll steal your life if you let it. Why should we go into, there are times when, and maybe one day we will have a Reformers Unanimous get together here, meeting here out of the church, dealing with addictions and things of that nature. But
I want you to understand, I don't want anybody here tonight to have to come to something like that. And if you learn to say no now, you won't have to deal with it. You say, what's Reformers Unanimous? It's an addiction program. It rehabs people that are addicted, whether it be to gambling, alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever. Now, while we're here, I'm going to go ahead and warn you about that pornography. The internet gives you access to all kinds of wicked, wicked stuff. You be real careful where you go on the internet. And children, one of the most dangerous things people can do is give children a cell phone with access to the internet.
Right.
Absolutely deadly sometimes. And it's going to distort their thinking. They're going to be taken, their innocence is going to be taken away. Having a cell phone where the child can call if they need to is one thing. Having access to the internet, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing for a child. There's a lot of adults that can't handle it. I don't want us to be snake bit. Snake bit has to do with the alcohol, but the devil's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. The most important thing for us as Christians, let's go over there. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Actually, it's 9. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It says, humble yourselves. You say, but I want a drink. Doesn't matter what you want. What's God want? Who do you want to please by getting a drink? Are you embarrassed not to get a drink? I'll tell you, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I was called by a family member. I was called a teetotaler. That's been 35 years ago. By a family member trying to ridicule me because I wouldn't drink. It may be longer than that. We were at a cousin's, a family member's wedding, and they had alcohol there. I love my parents, but there were things that they didn't do. They took us as, I was maybe 15 or so, they took us to a wine festival. They didn't drink much. I don't remember them drinking at the house, but that's definitely not a place you take a child. Definitely not a place a Christian ought to be either. You say, you're hitting awful hard, preacher. Hey, we're supposed to be a peculiar people, aren't we?
Amen.
We're supposed to be different. I know I'm more different than a lot of people, but the truth is, we're supposed to be different than the world. God expects us to live different than the world. You cannot make a difference unless you're different from the world. And if nobody else listens to me, I hope I get through to these kids, these young people. Because they've got a lot of life ahead of them. And they can make a bad decision. All it takes is one quick bad decision. And guess what? Had a young man, in the jail. I've told you this before, I think, but he was 18 years old, locked up in solitary confinement. I'd preached in the big room, and after the message at the in the big room, one of the guards told me, he said, there's a guy back here in solitary who wants to talk to you. So I talked to him through the glass. And he said, I'm 18 years old, and I made a bad mistake. I've messed my life up. I'm going to go away for a long time. And I told him, I'm sorry, but there is something worse than that. Because if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell forever. I led him to Christ through that glass. All it takes is just one quick decision. You've got to be on guard. This verse says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to chew you up, spit you out. Don't think you're going to get away with it. Everything's going to come back. God's going to square up all accounts. You say, why are you preaching so hard? Because I love you. I want to see you smart enough not to follow the devil, not to be sucked into his tricks, like so many others around us. I want you to make a vow. Maybe you've already made that vow. I want you to make a vow tonight that you're going to avoid that stinking drink, that stinking devil's brew. Anything that causes you to think it breaks down your good judgment. And he can use a lot of different things. The most important thing for us is to stand strong, stand with God, trust God. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Nobody cares for you more than Jesus. I want us to get to be known as a teetotaler's church. If to me, that's not a bad thing. I mean, we don't serve fermented wine with the Lord's Supper, okay?
Amen.
We use grape juice.
Amen.
Why? Because that's what Jesus drank.
That's right.
Amen. You don't believe me, I'll talk to you later about it. But the truth is, we want to stay away from the devil's tricks. You and I know so many people that have ruined their lives with this stuff. Don't let it happen to you. I'll make a vow to you. You don't let it happen to you, and I won't let it happen to me.
Amen.
The deal?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, let the name of Jesus be glorified. And Lord, I pray for you to help us make a right decision, a good decision, based on your word. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, this stinking brew that the devil has, it'll never, never be okay for your people to toy with the devil's poison. Lord, help us to make that commitment tonight. And Lord, we'll save ourselves a world of hurt. Move in the invitation as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.